the first epistle of the Thessalonians, chapter 4. What a great joy it is to be able to think, as we have done, of that blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We humbly pray and trust that everyone in the audience will be able to say, Christ is my Savior. If never you have found him, our earnest prayer and desire is that you'll find him this morning by the Holy Spirit as we preach the Word of God. Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, beginning at verse 13, reading to the end of the chapter. Paul writing by the Holy Spirit to those early believers of Thessalonica and saying, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are with thee, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that ye which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, meaning precede, or go before them which are asleep, those who have died in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort or encourage one another with these words. May God the Holy Spirit add his blessing to the reading and hearing of these wonderful, precious words. We would like, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to speak on a subject that is very precious to the hearts of those who believe on the Lord Jesus, and who particularly are looking for the Lord Jesus to come back again. We know not if any or all of you are really looking for the Lord to come back, but may we say emphatically, he comes, and I quote his words. John 14, verse 3. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There are many of us today that recognize and feel more than ever before in our lives the necessity of the Lord's return. May I suggest to you, if you know not the Lord Jesus as your Savior, do you not feel aware of the conditions that prevail upon the earth? That they are absolutely unsuitable to a holy God? That they are contrary to the mind and the will of God? The sin, the lawlessness, the violence, the corruption, the iniquity, and all that abounds in this deed, which according to the word of God is under the domination by nature, under the domination of Satan and his power. For we read that the word of God declares, the whole world lieth in the wicked one. It may be perhaps that you may be one of those who are still in the hands of the wicked one. Some say, never having been delivered out of his power, never having come to the Lord Jesus as we have been singing in that invitation hymn, have seen all those hands of Savior. Hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. May we give you the assurance that if the Savior has redeemed us and redeemed others, he still wants to do it to you. And we trust by the Holy Spirit you'll feel your need of it and come to him. But it should be perfectly obvious, perhaps in your own life, and in your own experiences of life, the sin and the degradation, the difficulties and the problems, and the power of sin in your own heart and life, you may say, I need a deliverer, I need a Savior. And may I suggest to you, and I quote one scripture particularly, and listen to it. It is in relation to the theme we have before us in the scripture that we have read, and it is found in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 in part. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world. I don't know how you feel, but many of us, I'm sure, myself included, particularly, are indeed happy to know when the Lord saved us, he also promised us that he would take us out of this evil world. May I ask a question? If you have the possibility of getting out of this world and going to a better one, would you wish to go? I hope you would. You'd be a fool not to. For the promise of God is this, and may I go back to the reading that we began with in verse 13, in verse 14, 15. I point out to you the basis upon which what follows will take place. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, primarily, the beloved Thessalonians were concerned regarding the fact some of their beloved believers had died. They had been all told that the Lord was coming back. But when they saw their loved ones going away in death, they could not understand how would they be able to meet the Lord when he came. And the beloved apostle Christ, this blessed scripture for their consolation, as well as instruction. But what follows in regard to that wonderful event, which we often call the rapture, and like this, is based upon what you have in the opening of verse 40, the necessity of believing what? What Paul declares. That Jesus died and rose again. Really pause for just a moment, make it very clear. This is the gospel. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, we have the Lord telling us by the Spirit through the apostles what the gospel is, which we believe, by which we are saved. How that Christ died for our sins, and according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, the third day, according to the scripture. This is the good news of the gospel. For your sins and for mine, Christ died and paid the penalty upon the cross. Now the question is this, have you believed it? Oh, beloved, realize this. The crux of the responsibility is, have you believed by faith? Have you accepted what Christ did to save your soul from eternal hell? Your sins, which are many, be kind to them. Your sins, which are abundant, who can number them? He paid the penalty and purchased the ransom price that you might have redeemed. He wants you to accept it. And if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel, then there is the participation. In one is the great, next great prophetic event of which we have been reading, which we often call the rapture. You say, what is it? What is that rapture? As it's so expressed often in that terminology, and which we can certainly recognize even from the scripture, which we have read. Meditate with me upon that wonderful event. And to you and I, who belong to the family of God and amongst the children of God, may I point out to you, your future is better than you have. Your future is better than you have. Oh, beloved, isn't it wonderful to have a vision like that? It's called in the Word of God the hope of the church. glorious appearing of our great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, my beloved, may I ask this question? Do you have that hope? What is your hope? Is it only a lost eternity? Is it eternal hell? Is it eternal judgment? Is it eternal banishment? The lake of fire is burning forever and ever, which will be the eternal doom of the unsaved. You know, you need not go there. For thank God, in the gospel, there is not only salvation for your soul, but an eternal hope for that. Blessed be. And this is the hope. And may I repeat the words of the Lord Jesus again when he goes to John 14? Hoping it more in part from the beginning of the chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, may I ask the question kindly, lovingly, earnestly. Did you have a place like that to look forward to? According to his promise? It'll be yours. If by strength you come with all your guilty sins, confessing, Lord Jesus, I do believe, I now believe, that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin, confessing me. Meditate this morning on a few thoughts regarding that wonderful deliverance when the Lord will come and that which will take place. I want you to notice something that we have read. Let me go with you to verse 15 and 16 again. And read on. For Paul says, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is no imagination of the mind. This is no figment of imagination that has been concocted, but it's the word of the Lord, of a divine command, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not receive or go before death in our truth. And Paul writes for the comfort of the believers of that day and even today. And then he describes how that event will be fulfilled. Let me go back again, without apology for the repetition. The words of precious will never repeat them too often. They never can be common, and they should never be tucked down in the mind and heart. When Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now what we need in Thessalonians is how it will take place. How the Lord comes? No verse 15. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And immediately the dead in Christ shall rise up. Then we become alive and remain, shall be caught up, cast up, the shadow of the dead come, shall be the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Beloved, I think it could not be wrong to say the terminology of this event often calls a rapture in Jesus. What a rapturous event it will be. Not only a rapturous event it will be, but all the momentary immediate occasions that it takes place so quickly. In a moment, Paul writes to the Corinthians 15, in a moment, in the drinking of an hour. Now let me ask the question. What is the nature of this event? The nature of the rapture? What exactly? What's going to happen? What is going to happen? Know what Paul says as you look at verse 17. Does the resurrection of the dead in Christ? Not all the dead? Those that have died in Christ. And then we become alive. Shall be caught up. Now that word caught. Meditate with me upon it. It means to be
shall be that. For, and the word is mine, we shall be taken away. It's a very strong word. It really implies a violent sudden action. A very violent sudden action. One illustration of it you may remember in the Bible in chapter 25, I think it is, or 23 rather, of the book of the Acts. When Paul was preaching upon the steps of the temple in Jerusalem to the Jews people who were seeking to take his life, and the soldiers gave him permission. When he spoke of the fact that the Lord had sent him to speak to the Gentiles, there was an uproar. And immediately, the whole congregation of Jews hurled themselves against the apostle Paul to slay him and to kill him. And the soldiers took him away from them violently. They caught him away. That's the Lord. Well, beloved, see that you say, when the rapture takes place, the saints of God are going to be cast away. A lot of these were taken away from. A lot of things were taken away from in this world. All the distress that the soul may experience and the body may experience while we're in this world. When the rapture takes place, you shall be snatched away from it. There may be the oppression of Satan, our great foe, and he is an enemy, and very much alive. The whole fear of sin that reigns in his heart, wickedness, lawlessness, will be snatched away. Okay. I like that. And then also, the very fear of death that blinds upon the whole world. Snatched away from it. What a building. Out of it. And then, to recall the words of the apostle in the second epistle of Thessalonians, chapter 1. Out of all that persecution, out of all that out of all the slaves that in this world, take them out! And Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1, and it was suddenly wrecked with us. Oh, what a moment it will be. Please let me give you the thought. We're going to be suddenly wrecked. All right. If you are not saved, if you've got some friends or loved ones that are saved, you're going to be left behind. Unless you come to Christ. They're going to be cast away! Beloved, what a problem. And I'm sure that every one of us who are believers would say, Lord Jesus, save our lives. But then, how did you know that? It is not only a catching away, but it is a catching up. As the apostle writes, he knows the word, we shall be caught, what we mentioned, up! We shall be caught up! Now I want you to think of the magnitude of this event. The magnitude of the population concerned in it. The dead in Christ. How many, I don't know. How many have died in Christ? The living who are on the earth. And together, they are united. They are caught up. Every one of them. To walk the Lord. I don't know how many Christians we have in this city. You might to know if you could. How many Christians we may have in this city? Okay. How many believers in this country? I don't know. How many believers in the whole world? I don't know. How many believers in Christ? I don't know. But I know this. From the beginning of the church to the last,
They're all going to be caught up. That's going to be quite a congregation, isn't it? Probably from what I've got here.
All the body of saints caught up.
Commit the Lord to you. Not as solitary Elijah, not as solitary Enoch, but all who are in Christ caught up to meet the Lord in you. Oh, may I do that? It will be the first time all the saints will be here. I'm glad I'm going to be able to meet you. Not one after. All the many saints are asking from their tablet. They seem to get very peculiar, you see, the rock that they call to the past around the drum there. More than just without it. It affected them immediately. They woke up on Sunday morning. In fact, they didn't even want to. And they lingered on all through the morning. About noontime, they were revised and felt better. And so did they. And when church time came again, they had a relapse. They loved again. Only the one was wrong. Not to be forsaken with the standing of our time. And oh, when that day comes, that moment comes, I know this. Everyone who has believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ having been born again, they'll be caught up together to meet the head of the church, as well as together with one another. Hallelujah. Oh, what a gathering that will be. A completed church will exist for the first time. Angels have never existed such upon the earth. But it will be existed when we go up in the air to meet the Lord. It is a catching away from the world. It is a catching up to meet the Lord, the head of the church, and to be the caliber. You know what it is, brother? That you only have to have the Holy Spirit for the word of God. I have no use to yet have the movies that are going on here. They're not Christian. But all times long, he has his own program. And what a day that will be. It's most unfortunate you have some Christians. I had lunch this past day, with a beloved brother. And we were speaking to one another regarding the fact of the Christians who you become acquainted with in the wounds of this city in recent days. He finds that what we would call exclusive, that he would not be welcome to do what we this morning did together as Christians at the Lord's Supper, even though he's a believer, even though he's walking, seeking to walk in God's delight, and seeking to follow the word of God. And he said, not at all. He'll be fine. I remember an old brother in my boyhood days, never were together. And he was probably the first concert I ever remember as a man in my teens in the city of Rochester long ago. I would say about 1970. When this brother was preaching about the church. And he spoke of the fact that at the beginning of the church it was one great united party. And he likened it to going down to the ocean. And you came down to the ocean. And then you saw one great vast expanse of water. And then, a little later on, the tide went out. And he said, the tide went out in the days of the ocean. And customarily, also when I was a boy in England at the sea time, when the tide went out, you find lots of puddles of water left. And the mighty ocean is rolled out. But the puddle grew there. And he said, when the tide rolled out in the early days of the church, it left a lot of puddles. A Presbyterian puddle here. A Methodist puddle there. A Baptist puddle there. A Congregational puddle there. And he went on. An Episcopalian puddle. And he said, ooh,
the Moses brethren over in another part. But he said, when the Lord comes back, it'll be like the time coming in. And he says, all the puzzles will be gone. So praise the Lord.
Oh, my beloved, who knows this? I tell you, much as we would long to do on the two sisters together, there are
as hallelujah. And what a joy that will be. Caught up. And also, it's not only going to be a catching away, not only a catching up, it's going to be a tremendous transfiguration. Oh yes, a transfiguration. Let me quote the words of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52. When Paul writes this thing, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all see, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last drop. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we who are alive shall be saved. Transfiguration. Oh, what a change. Let me quote the words of Paul as he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3:21. This body of humiliation shall be changed into his own life, unto his own glorious body. When the Lord Jesus comes, let me quote the verse properly in the context. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior to come, who shall change this body of humiliation and fashion it like unto his own glorious body. He's in that coming day. What a transfiguration. The redemption of our body, the transfiguration of our body, what a change it will be when he comes. It will be, if I'm in the grave, I'm going to put on a body of incorruption. If I'm living, this mortal will put on immortality. Oh, beloved, what a change it's going to be. May I quote you some of the things that Paul said in his word, in the word of God about it? But Corinthians chapter 15, it's going to be a spiritual body. The spiritual will dominate the body, rather than the body dominate the spiritual, it seems to be today. And its subjection, it will be yielded to serve God forever and ever. You know, I like that. Submissive and yielded to serve the Lord forever. We ought to be submissive now to serve the Lord. In that day we will. That will be a great transfiguration without question in that. And that body will be far superior to the present body. Superior to the present body. Will be sick. Will be deaf. Will be painless. Will be sin. May I raise a question? Do these facts appeal to your heart? Do they appeal to your soul? Perhaps today your body is serving you. Perhaps today, Satan is your man and your following. Perhaps today, you may be in the middle of a meeting, you might not have been with you. In your home, in your daily walk, in your daily life. Oh, what a tremendous thank you. And in that blessed day and moment of the day, the truth in the origin of the new body, that physical body, will be known. May I go even further? It would be a body of exaltation. Oh, I don't know how you feel about it, and I'm not thankful. I am not even imaginative enough. I fail to realize May I point out what the apostle said? It will be a body of glory. Then shall ye also appear with Christ in glory. Let me give you an illustration of it from the scriptures. You can read it in Matthew 17, as well as Luke 9 and Mark 9. The transfiguration scene of the Lord Jesus. His flesh shone as the sun, his garment was as white as the light. And there he was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. Together with him appeared Moses and Elijah. Two men, representative of the human race. One representative of those who died before the coming of the Lord. The other representative, as we well know, Elijah, went to heaven without dying. Representative of the living. Who shall be on the earth when Jesus comes? And the apostle writes, as he records the thing, then they appear with him out in glory. Beloved, let me say, I've never been an angel and I don't want to be. And I don't expect it. There's no question of doubt, the holy angels of God are us. But the saints of God are going to be glorified greater than that. My fellow believer, no wonder Peter wrote, what manner of persons ought ye not to be? See, my beloved, let me pray. There'll be an outward, eternal radiance. Brighter than the angel in that coming day belonging to the transfigured church. Ah, I guess our eyes are dull today, aren't they? But I think greater still, in the transfiguration, we shall be like him, for we shall born in the human race, we're like Adam. Born into the family of God, instead of being captain after the earthly man, we shall be like the heavenly. The Lord Jesus. Oh, beloved, please let me say, it's an amazing revelation. It's beyond our comprehension, and it's also beyond our deserve. But the saints, Romans quotes the words of him, the saints shall shine in glory. Beloved, this is the last. A snatching away, catching away, a catching up, and then a transfiguration. How good. But then there's something else in our verse, verse 17. We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. Now why the words in the air? If you know your Bible, may I suggest that here is a tremendous sign. In the air. Do you know anything about the Bible speaks about the air above it and around it, the atmosphere in heaven? I read in 2nd chapter of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 2, that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. I read in Ephesians 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high and heavenly places. Did you ever stop to consider when the rapture takes place? How we meet the Lord where? Right in the middle of Satan's realm. Right in the middle of Satan's realm. The very throne of his power. What a divine word of omnipotence. As well as the promises of the living. Then in his very region. On which he rules over the darkness of the world.
Christ is going to bring his church, his redeemer, the Peter, first in the air. Oh, the headquarters of things of power, if you please.
Indicating that Christ has conquered completely. Oh, beloved, let me say, death he did Jesus thank you when he was upon the earth. By death he died in and that adversary of man named God, he defeated as a cross yet, and in resurrection power. And oh, may I say that mighty conqueror. And oh, please, the magnitude of it, he is beyond grasping that all the saints are going to meet him in the very realm of Satan's soul. Christ completely overcome. And even his church. Oh, my beloved fellow believer, I'll tell you something. You and I are going to enjoy going through that moment. And so, Satan is beautiful. This Jesus Christ. I think there's some indication. As you read in verse 15, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven in a shout, with the voice of the archangel. I don't know, but that sometimes was it. The might of the archangel will clear the sky. Big room! And the host of evil will be back with us. Christ is going to be destroyed. Indeed, what a time. Oh, how do I hold up on you? Oh, the joy of God. And then also, you know what the end of the verse 17 says? And so to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Forever. In a place of eternal constantly. Then he quotes the words of Titus 2, verse 18, instead of the beginning. Paul writing to Titus 2, verse 18, looking for that blessing, and then he says, the word blessed is looking for that happy hope, the glorious appearing of our great God is praying to Jesus. For that event, praise God. It's going to be a passing away, a passing up. It's going to be a transfiguration. It's going to be a tremendous time. Well, we quote the word, it comes in my mind, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul describes the latter in that chapter, and the triumphant part of it, when he says, this body shall put on its corruption. The corruptible shall put on its corruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be swallowed up the in victory the sin. Death is swallowed up in victory. And at the end of the chapter it says, thanks be to God, which given us the victory. For in that day, no death where we find faith, all praise where we find victory. Beloved, what a tremendous victory. There through the realm of sin, we trust and we meet the Lord. And then we shall be forever with the Lord. Let me remind you of something that took place.
Let's do that. We have the story of it in this part. We have the avenue of the other defender and the officer mentioned in part. Then in this chapter, we have the story of the crucifixion,
which you may recall, together with Jesus, were two men crucified. Both of were men of rebellious sin and wickedness of all. They were dying the due reward for their deeds of honor. They deserved the death for which they had been sent. You may recall the messages of the Holy Cross. They began speaking words of defiance against the Lord Jesus. And challenging him if he was the Son of God, thus to deliver them. And then as they went on, one of them repented. And the one who repented said to the other, "Does not thou feel more of you? Seeing that we're in the same condemnation, but referring to Jesus, this man has done nothing of it." And the man in his position of clothes was acknowledging that he's worthy of his name, but also that he's worthy of his name. And then he spoke to his words. Where's the confession of his heart? Where's the faith of his soul? Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest with the light. Why did he call him Lord? Let me quote you a scripture. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart and with the mouth the same is made of his mind. Lord, remember me. My friend, have you ever prayed like that earlier? Here we want the gifting of the early sinner, something that nothing was reached. But it pleased for nothing to me, to the only one to come. And then I point out, he thought something to an answer to me. He thought not.
There'll be a consideration of everyone with bodies of glory. Bodies of glory.
Amen.